Today is Sunday the 25th. We are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 2.5 days removed from Thanksgiving. Last week we had our a Thanksgiving sermon, and it was, say, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, 3.5 days away in anticipation of Thanksgiving. And so now, in about the same amount of time, I'm wondering, are we still thinking about that whole idea of Thanksgiving or thankfulness or giving of thanks or saying thank you? Now, if you learned anything last week, if anyone says, what do you say, Hyatt? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. That's what you say. It's either please or thank you, one of the two. But what does that mean? We talked about that last week, and what does that mean to be thankful? Now, this week, it's time for seconds. Now, I don't know about you guys, but at Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday, or on Thursday, and this might find, you might find this hard to believe, but I had seconds of a lot. I had seconds of a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I had seconds of that, and you know, it was one of those moments where it's just like, oh my goodness, I just got comfortable. I just got to where I'm not in pain, but man, that banana pudding's calling me. So I had to go and I had to get another scoop of that, another bowl of that, another obscene portion of that banana pudding, and I ate it. And then afterwards, I was like, why did I eat that? Because now I'm back to an hour ago where I was like so uncomfortable. Is anybody with me? Howard, raise your hand. Come on. Anybody else with me? All right. Thank you, Jake. It's just, you know, I got to find out where my people are, you know. And it's just, you know, but there's something about seconds. And so I'm hopeful this morning that you want seconds on that Thanksgiving sermon. That you want seconds on the, you know, that last week it wasn't good enough for you to leave. You're thinking, well, he told us what it, you know, why we should be thankful. Remember we had up there, it said, why be thankful? But over and over he kept saying, I don't know what it looks like. Well, you're in luck. Because the seconds this morning is, I think I've got it figured out. I don't know. This will be one of those sermons where you can go home and think about it and look over your notes. And I'm assuming you're going to take some notes. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. You can if you'd like. It is on the back of your order of worship. And you can chew on it and mull over it and all that. And no pun intended on the chewing part. But as you can think, man, is that true? I hope you think that way about every sermon. I hope that you think that way about every time that we break this bread of life, this, you know, we break open the word that we talk about this, that it's more than just, that it stays with you longer than just, you know, 15 minutes after you leave. But I think I've got this thing figured out, this thankful thing. Remember last week, I I've thought about this for months, and what does it mean to be thankful? And last week we talked about, does it mean that I take care of it and I never let anything happen to it? And, you know, whatever it is, whatever I'm thankful for, that I protect it and I save it and I savor it. Is that what that means? But then I don't know. You know, I was going over and over, you know, the last few months, you know, and I've got a lot of things that I, you know, draw from as far as life experience to try to bring the Word of God, to bring these, you know, these truths to our experiences. And one of those things was this week at school, we had, at the high school, they had this singing thing, this THS Idol. And, you know, and it's just a fundraiser for their project graduation. But what they do is they let students perform and you can win $500. And so of course Hayden's wanting to perform, and he did a great job, and he didn't win, but that's okay. He did a great job anyway. And I know you guys are thinking, how in the world he didn't win, but that's what we thought. But he's up there playing this guitar that I bought him, and it's an Ibanez guitar. It's a really nice guitar that I bought him that he's learned how to play, and he's up there playing it. And you know, a little while ago, and while he's doing that, all I could look at was this little this little speck on his guitar, this little ding, this chip, this imperfection. You don't have any of those on yours, do you, Caleb? You don't. You're just, no. He's like, oh, please don't talk to me. This little ding, this chip on this guitar. And I thought, ugh. And I found out about it. I said, what happened to that a few weeks ago? And he said, I don't know. I've taken it here. I was taking it there. I mean, he takes this thing everywhere. Took it to Winterfest. He takes it to his friend's house. He's going over, sleep over. He's got that guitar. And they're just playing it, having a great time. And as soon as I wanted to be like, oh, you never take care of anything. You're not thankful. You're blah, 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 blah. I mean, y'all can see me doing that, right? I thought, you know what? You know why that got a ding on it like that? Not because he's not grateful. You should have seen his face when he opened it up last Christmas. Oh, his face lit up and he was so happy. And he hugged me and he hugged his mother and then he hugged me and then he hugged Hillary and the dog. He was just so happy. And you know what he does? He plays it every night. He plays it all the time. And he takes it everywhere. And it got damaged and it still works, but it's just got this little imperfection on it. And as I look at it, it reminds me that he uses this thing. That he takes it with him. And so part of being thankful is gonna wear stuff out. It's gonna break stuff sometimes. It's gonna get imperfections and dings and scratches and it's gonna wear out. So it's that meal that I was so thankful for, it was gone so quickly. Because I was just that thankful. And so the more I thought about it, I think I want to talk about what thanksgiving looks like this morning. You know, because it's just not good enough to talk about why we need to be thankful and the importance of and what comes out of that. But it's important for us to know how to put into practice this grand, big concept of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. I mean, the Bible always says, give thanks with a joyful heart. Give, to God, I will thank him and be thankful in all circumstances and thankful. What does that mean? Well, it's about living. It's about wearing stuff out. It's about using. And so this morning, what I want to talk about, and if you've got your order of worship, fill in the blanks with me as we go through this. I want to talk about this idea of what it looks like, what a Tuesday afternoon of being thankful to God, what that looks like in our life when we pick up one foot and put it in front of the other and then another one. And as our hands go about the business of being thankful, what does it look like to be thankful? I think that's important. Because I think that a lot of times we get this idea of what it means to us. That might not be what it means to God. And so in starting to dissect this and starting to kind of process and unpack this word, this reality that God's called us to, and remember what he tells the Colossians, he says, be thankful in all circumstances because that's God's will for your life. So this is big. I mean, who doesn't want God's will for their life? So this is big. It's important to understand. And so in unpacking it, I first want to do, kind of taking a page out of the preacher's handbook, and that was written by Jesus. When Jesus says this, when his apostles came and said, teach us how to pray, he says, okay, let me tell you how not to pray. He says, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And now you can do this. He said, teach us what it looks like to do that. He said, well, let me tell you what not to do. He would always pull something, he'd pull it apart, and then he would kind of talk about the positives. And this is what I want to do this morning. So in understanding what thank you means, I want to first look at what it means to say no thank you. I mean, isn't that kind of the opposite of thank you? Oh, no thank you. I mean, I don't think misusing something is the opposite of thanks. I don't think, wearing something out. I don't think losing something. I don't think that's the opposite of thank you. I think, well, no thank you. What does it mean when you say no thank you? Well, it means I don't want any more. Vic and I, when we were married, we spent the most romantic wedding night and I believe the history of weddings. When we were married in Columbia, Missouri, we drove 8 hours or so to Ringgold, Georgia. I know. And we spent the night at my grandmother's house. I know. We got there at like 1 a.m. And she was old. You know, she's passed away. And wonderful, wonderful, godly woman. And, old school godly. Like, didn't wear pants in the church, that kind. You know what I'm saying? But just, she wore skirts. I'm saying, she didn't go to church nude. I'm saying, it was inappropriate to wear anything but a skirt, you know. Old school. Every time the doors were open, church. And I get there. We got there like 1 o'clock in the morning. And Meemaw wakes up. Or she was awake waiting on us. She was so excited that we were going to be. She couldn't be at the wedding. She was so excited we were going to be there. And you know what? We weren't hungry. We just wanted to go to bed. We just wanted to go to sleep. We were so tired. We just, we're driving. And you know what Meemaw had waiting on us? Roast, potatoes, carrots, all this fixings. And you know what we wanted to say? Oh, Meemaw, man, that looks great, but oh, no way. We can't eat any of that. But you know what we did? We sat down at the table and we ate, buddy. Because, Meemaw, you just didn't say no thank. When she was going to give you something, you just didn't say no thank you. We're trying to be polite. No thank you. No, you didn't say. Because she had this wonderful, godly, Christ-like way of insisting. I remember I was doing some work at her house one time. I was wiring up some TVs and wiring up some phone outlets for her. And she's like, Shane, are you hungry? No, Meemaw, I'm not hungry. I just want to get this work. No, are you hungry? I tell you what I'll do. I get these frozen pizzas and I cut them up and I put them in the freezer and I'll just make you a piece of pizza. And I said, no, Meemaw, I ate before I got here. I'm fine. I just need to get this done and it'll be fine. And so I go about working and I'm working about 45 minutes later, I hear, ding, Shane, your pizza's ready. You know what I did? I stopped, put my stuff down, washed up, went in the kitchen, sat there, and I ate that piece of pizza. I remember that my whole life. Because the idea, what it looks like to be thankful is to receive whatever it is that's being given. And I want to use a scripture that doesn't really say that, but I want to illustrate it. In James chapter 1, the very beginning of that, James says, I consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever I encounter trials of any kind, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work. And he goes on to talk about just the life in Christ and the life of faith. And he says, I consider it joy. Now, anybody want to stop what they're doing, put down their tools, put down whatever it is they're working with, and say, bring on some trials? Does anybody want to? It's kind of like that driving all day, just want to go to bed, just want to come in, but no, man, we're going to sit up and we're going to talk about what's going on and we're going to eat some real heavy roasts and all that kind of stuff. We didn't go to sleep for like 4 more hours. That Meemaw was given that. And so to honor her, to say thank you, you know what we did? We were receiving it. I consider it joy. And you know what, at the time when it was just like, when we're young and just full of ourselves and all that, at the time we're just like, oh, I'll just have to do this. And about 3 minutes into that, I realized why in the world we were staying at my grandmother's house on our wedding night, because I loved her. She was awesome and she was funny and she loved us and just wanted to talk and just... You see, because we were thankful. We were receiving that. And James says, whatever it is, if it's trials, I thank God for that. I accept it with joy because I know that whatever comes my way, it's an opportunity for me to sit down at the table with God and eat and commune and to talk. Because you know what? If we are spiritual people, if we're thankful for that relationship that Howard talked so eloquently about in his class this morning, that if we're thankful for that, we want to get more of it wherever we can. Because when times are tough, I am closer to God. And when times are good, I am praising Him. And so regardless of what it is, regardless of what it is, I do want more. I want more. I'm never going to say, oh, no, thank you. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to say, God, bring it on. Fill my plate up again. Put more on that. I want more of what God is offering. That's what living thankfully looks like. That's what thanking God is wanting more of Him, wanting more of whatever God has to give. I want more of what God's offering. I want more of what God has to give. And that's where Psalm 67 comes in. And we talked about this last week. And I'm following in Paul's footsteps where he said to the Philippians, as I've often told you, and I say again, okay, this is one of those times. Now, he was talking about, many live as enemies of the cross. Well, what I'm doing is as I told you last week, and I'm going to tell you again because some things bear repeating in Psalm 67. It says, God, be gracious and bless us. Make your face shine upon you. You know what they're saying is, God, yes, thank you. Give us more of you. Give us more of what you have to offer, what you have to give. God, we want more of that because there's a purpose behind it. So that your ways may be known on earth, that your salvation may be known among all the nations. You see, living thankfully, giving thanks, when it says, thank God in all circumstances, is just wanting more of Him. It's just wanting God for His glory. I want more for Your glory, Lord. You see, the fact is that living thankfully, that thanks living is receiving from God because it leads to sharing what God gives. And because we can't receive anything from God and hoard it. I want to say that again. Look. We don't have time this morning. We've got just a few minutes left. I learned something very valuable over the past months. And the 24 to Double taught me this. So, this will be a good thing. Is I would rather preach 5 minutes to less than... Or no, what is it? 5 minutes too less than 20 minutes too long or something like that. I'd rather leave you wanting more than to wear you out. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm not used to this, but okay. Just bear with me. So I'm going kind of quick, but write down. Call me later. The whole idea is there's a lot of scripture that talks about giving, a lot of scripture that talks about receiving. And what it does is it says that anything that you get and keep, not from the Lord. Anything that you get and disperse among everyone for the glory of God, that's from God. Look at Genesis. Oh, wait. Okay. Genesis 22, 17 through 18. All right. Write that down. I don't have it on the screen. I apologize. Genesis 22, 17 through 18, and it says, and this is Abraham's encounter with the Lord, and this is when he says, look, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars, as numerous as the sand, as numerous as... He says, I'm going to do all this. I'm going to bless you. And he talks more about blessing in this kind of arbitrary, physical / spiritual way. He doesn't get real specific with it, but he does tell them, you're going to have a big family and you're going to have a lot of people and you're going to have a lot of stuff and you're going to do, you're going to be a really big deal, and you're going to be a big deal in order to bless so many more people. See, God said, you've obeyed me. You know what that means? God said, I have found someone who is a stream, who is a conduit of my grace, who I can pour myself into, and through him, many people will experience me. That's what God's found in Abraham. When Abraham marched Isaac up that mountain, he said, God, all I've wanted my whole life was a son, was a family. All I've wanted was that. God gave it to him. And God says, now, give him back to me. And Abraham said, okay, And God said, well, okay, since you're willing, since you're not only willing, but you're able to give away what I give you, I'm going to give you more. And you're going to bless the world because you obey me. All nations will be blessed because you have obeyed. And I keep thinking, and in Ephesians 4 and 7, he says, to each of us, grace has been given. You see, what Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, look, we've been given this grace. And so to God's glory, what God's looking for is people that thankfully accept that, and then they're this conduit of that grace, and they spread it out to as many people as they can find who need grace. And that's in the form of money, time, what relationships, whatever you come across that people need, you receive it from God. Has God given you? Has God given you everything that you need? I mean, have you needed a relationship and He's given you that? Have you needed for anything spiritual and He's given you that? Here's the thing. Be thankful. Want more of that so that many can experience God through you, through your receiving. He doesn't give so that we can have. He gives so that we can thankfully give on. In 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, turn over to this. This is a great passage just to look at in its entirety. In 2 Corinthians 8, he starts out, and we're going to get to verse 7, but just write down 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, and he starts out in verse 1, and now, brothers, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's telling them about other people and how they've experienced and the outworking of Christ in their life, and he says, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Okay? So he uses the word grace, and then he talks about giving. Now, he's not just talking about giving money, and this is still a Thanksgiving or us thanking God sermon. This is not a, you know, budget Sunday sermon at all. That's not what this is about. You know, it's about living this thanks kind of life. He says, I want to tell you about this other church and the grace God's given them. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Now, how trial, joy, poverty, and generosity go together, only the grace of God knows that. I mean, it's what he's talking about. He said, let me tell you about the grace of God through the Macedonians. They had extreme trials. They're joyful. They're wanting more of whatever God's got to offer. Their poverty welled up in generosity. I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to God. Howard, it happened again. First, their spirituality was of the utmost importance. They gave themselves first to God, and then they gave first to God, to the Lord, then in keeping with God's will, then they gave to us. So we urge Titus, since it earlier made a beginning, bring all this to completion, this act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Now, translators and Bible publishers have established that this is about giving monetarily. I agree, but I also think it's more. I think it's more than just, you know, excel in the grace of giving money. I think he's saying excel in the grace of giving whatever it is that you're receiving from God. Well, thanksgiving looks like what it looks like to live thankfully. It's to want more. want more of God because I've got so much more to give. Because there, as soon as the world runs out of need, then we can say no thank you. Because honestly, God, I wouldn't know what to do with it. Because honestly, God, don't give me any more because I've got nowhere to put it. I've got nowhere to bestow it. I've got nobody to give it to. As soon as the world runs out of need, then we can stop receiving from God because we'll have nowhere else to go with it. That's my best shot at what it looks like to be thankful. That's my best shot of what it looks like to live thankfully, because I've got to believe it's more than just words that we say. It's more than just this kind of pride of ownership of having stuff. I believe there's a purpose to it. And Psalm 67 tells us, never, never separate the generosity of God, the grace of God, the provision of God, from the purpose of God. This morning, I'm going to invite you to live thankfully. This morning, I want you to understand that it is to be thankful is to want more of what God is giving, to want more of what God is sharing, and to do that for His glory, so that the nations, so that the neighborhood, so that the people at work, the people at school, all of those people will know the salvation of God and that He is the true, living, loving, gracious God. If there's a change that needs to take place in your life, just like there's changes that need to take place in my life, If there's anything that you need to be prayed with or prayed for about in anything, if you want to start that thankful journey of confessing Christ as Savior, being baptized and receiving in you the grace that God so richly pours out on this earth, you can do that this morning. Whatever your need is, would you let us know? Together we stand and as we sing.